As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to From the Rookerind. My name is John, and it's currently 82 minutes and 51 seconds on my television into Watford away at Wickham, where it's currently 1-1. I'm with Jason. You all right,
Jace? Ask me in 10 minutes.
And do I dare, Mike?
Yeah, this will teach me to look forward to a Watford game, won't it? I've got a couple of days off. I thought, oh, I go home and relax, watch Watford, then saw the team and I thought this is going to be great. And it's been the opposite of great, hasn't it, really, so far?
Well, why do you think it was going to be great? What was it?
Well, because for all the reasons that we've spoken about in the recent podcast, I thought this team is really coming together nicely, looks strong defensively, looked to be improving in midfield, getting more of a, you know, we talked about a man of the match appearance from Chalabar. And I was just, I thought we might see a more heavily rotated side tonight. And the fact that we didn't, the fact that we had people like Saar and Kapu, some real big name performers back in the side against a team who is struggling at the wrong end of the table, gave me cause for optimism. I did say, didn't I, in the podcast on Saturday, that this is the sort of game that Watford have struggled in. You know, we are the team that you want to play if you're struggling for a win or a result. And unfortunately, it's turned out to be like that.
Yeah, but defensively, Jason, it hasn't been that much different, bar Christian Cabaselli's weak moment when they scored.
Yeah, it probably doesn't help that we've been giving the ball away anyway, which invites pressure on. But then when we've had to deal with it, we've not dealt with it very well. And I think Wickham's play has perhaps been more expansive than we might have given them credit for. Yes, they've used Akinfenwa as a target man, but it's not been straight up to him. They've been committing men forwards. They've been getting the ball wide. And sort of the manner of the way they've been delivering the ball to Akinfenwa. And Kashke has been awesome for them tonight. He's played off Akinfenwa so well. He knows exactly what's going on, where the ball's going to end up. And he's the one reading what's going to happen, picking the ball up, getting into dangerous positions, finding pockets of space. And we just seem to have struggled to deal with it. And then, again, you look at what happened when Cabaselli went off injured. The reason it happened was because he stood off Akinfenwa, decided he didn't want to challenge him, decided he was too much of a beast for him to deal with. He's then caught between two players, ended up sort of going in late on the challenge for the flick on, given the free kick away anyway, and ended up hurting himself because he's gone in half-hearted. And that kind of sums up where we are defensively tonight.
Yeah, I think you're right to give Wickham a bit of credit, Jason, because, you know, this is the league we're in. We play the teams we're in, and, you know, it's a bit jarring, I guess, for us Watford supporters. You know, the last time Ismaïla Sarr scored, for example, was his brace against Liverpool, the League European and World Cup club champions, and now here we are against a team who hasn't picked up a point in the championship and struggling. But you know, to give Wickham their due, they've played the ball around nicely in front of the penalty area, and you summed up perfectly. They found little pockets of space and a couple of dinks through, and found themselves in space. And really, without Ben Foster, and I know that's a moot point because we do have Ben Foster, but he's had to make probably four reasonable saves, pretty decent saves, to keep it respectable, hasn't he? And how many saves as his counterpart have to make? Not many, I would say. John, for you to suggest that the defence has been up to its usual standard, I'm not sure. I think they've been found wanting by a Wickham side who is desperately low on confidence and hasn't had much joy at all this season. But Watford have found it very, very hard going defensively. Jason alluded to it there as well. Our ball retention has been poor, and our use of the ball when we've had it has been shocking. Very early on, saw Kapoor try and switch a ball, one of his expansive balls out. I thought, oh, look at that, here we go, we've got Etienne Kapoor back. And I was just waiting for someone to trap it, and before I realised, it was just sailed straight out for a throw-in. And I think that was quite early, probably 15 minutes in, and that sort of set the tone, really. I think Watford have been slack and slapdash and deeply, deeply disappointing. That's all without, you know, being disrespectful to Wickham Wanderers. But, we, you know, this is a Watford podcast. We looked for a performance from Watford, and it's not been great.
I can hear in the background there muttering from Arlo Mike.
Incredibly grumpy.
Is he taking on his father's persona, not his mother's persona at the moment?
Yeah, Arlo, how would you describe your mood at the moment? Shout out. He said he can't because he doesn't want to swear.
So definitely his father's persona.
Definitely his dad, yeah.
The thing that got me excited, and the thing that you sort of said, you know, we're not passing it well. The one thing I thought we were going to be with Etienne Kapoor starting this game, his first start, you think, amazing. He's going to be pinging it here, pinging it there, pinging it everywhere, bringing in Ismail Azar into the game a lot more, dominating that midfield. And he really hasn't, has he, Jason?
No, and again, so we talk about our defensive slackness. Again, you've got to give credit to Wickham because they've been pretty solid. It's been rare that they've let us get behind them early. I don't think they've given Saar or Pedro the opportunity to sit on the shoulder and get behind, where the opportunities perhaps have come. And certainly only in the first half, I thought, was when we were in advanced positions, Kiko was sort of breaking the line and we had opportunities to get the ball to him and we weren't. And really, that's been the only sort of gaps that I've seen in the Wickham defence where we've possibly had chances to break through. But other than that, they've been pretty solid and not allowed us much at all.
Oh, we've just seen the ball go in the net for Wickham
Foster
in the 91st minute, but clearly a foul on Foster. Well, it seemed to be on the replay. It is. Yeah.
He is backed in.
Yeah.
So that was 91st minute, and it came from a Wickham corner, a vicious in-swinging corner. And I think probably the goalkeeper's always going to get the shout there. The guy did sort of stick his backside into Ben Foster, and probably, you know, 99 times out of 100, you're going to get that as the goalkeeper. But it just goes to show, you know, that was a brilliant ball in from Wickham. I mean, this guy has scored from corners fairly regularly, and you can see why. But how many times have Watford put a ball in like that in this fixture? Not very many at all. And Jason said there, you know, Kiko's got forward a couple of times, Semmer's got forward a couple of times, but we just haven't asked any questions like that. And it's, you know, the final last knockings, we are desperately hanging on here. There's 2.5-3 minutes left of injury time, and it's all Wickham are bottom of the league, and they had a reasonable result against Norwich at the weekend. I think they probably were unlucky to lose 2-1, I think. But really, you know, Watford just need to be better. You know, largely speaking, when Watford's poorer performances this season have come when we haven't been able to get a grip of things in midfield, and this has just been one of those games. I think we desperately miss Chalobah. I think it's ironic that we mentioned, you know, that we've been quite tough on him over a period of time on the podcast, and then have welcomed his return to form, culminating in that man of the match performance against Bournemouth at the weekend, and then he gets the man of the match, and then he's left out. I think we've missed him today, and I think Queener looked out of sorts from the get-go. I don't think he really looked like he understood what his role was and what impact it was expected of him. He had a good impact against Bournemouth coming in as a sub, but he didn't sort of stamp his authority on this game at all from very, very early on. And I just think in midfield we were very, very lacking, from minute one. And it's just been incredibly frustrating. But in midfield, an issue as well as the defence.
So let's decide, oh. Jason. Across the goal, Glenn Murray could have got us the win. Queen Ed was having definite a bad Queen game. Nothing was sort of coming off for him, and no passes were particularly going where he would have creatively wanted them to go. But I still think there's that feeling I get from the Czar and Pedro front line, Jason, where I just think it lacks a something to help them out, really.
We go back to what we said earlier. They're not out-and-out strikers. You can see them playing in a front three, not in a front two, with someone like a Murray or a Deeney or a Parisa in between the two of them. I've already spoken about Akinfenwa and Kashket and how well they've linked up together. You could see positionally how close Kashket was to Akinfenwa during the game, particularly in the first half, where Kashket knew exactly what was coming. He knew what to expect from Akinfenwa. Akinfenwa knew exactly where Kashket was, whether he was behind him and he needed to hold it up, chest it off for him, or if he was making a run pass and flicking it on for him. And we don't really get that. Part of it's because of the way we play, but we don't get that with those two guys because they are not a strike partnership. I think they would be best utilised as part of a front three.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
Final whistle, 1-1, away at Adams Park for the Hornets. But Mike, we did score a goal. It was from Saar, but as a partnership, Pedro and Ismaila just haven't really shown a partnership developing.
No, I don't think that comes as any surprise to anyone. I think the
so why keep starting with them then?
Well, because I think there's a lack of options. Parisa had I wasn't actually that impressed with him against Bournemouth. I think we could have got a little bit more from him on against Bournemouth. I think he went down too easily, but he took his goal well, and then you'd hope he was going to go on from that with a bit of confidence, but obviously got what looked like a pretty nasty injury, and he's missing tonight. It does beg the question about Glenn Murray and how he fits into this Watford squad, not to get a start tonight. But I can kind of understand it as a Championship manager or football manager, should I say, Sports Interactive, mm-hmm. With that sort of head on, you would think if you're sat at home in front of your PC picking your team, you think, look, Ismaïl Assar in lightning pace, capable of putting a good delivery in. João Pedro, very skillful and has popped up with, what, three pretty impressive goals so far this season. They should be able to pick a way through a Wickham defence which has conceded a lot of goals so far this season. So I understand it. I do get it. It just more often than not, it just hasn't come off, has it? And it can be quite frustrating to watch. And I think especially when the midfield doesn't catch, I think it's even worse because they're not getting the ball and they're not playing them in and they're not giving them a chance. I don't think we're not earning the right to play to their strengths, if that makes sense.
I'll tell you where I think they have looked better is when Cleverley has played in the advanced role in midfield. I just think he's played with a lot more energy and has shown a lot more desire to get forward and link the two players. And I don't want to dig out Keener because we've already spoken to him and we've spoken about him and we've talked a bit about where maybe he's lacking in past podcasts this season, but you do get the impression that when Keane gets the ball, he's either making the wrong decision or hanging on to the ball a bit too long and won't play the pass, whereas Cleverley seems to be a lot busier, a lot quicker and a lot more comfortable playing quicker passes and linking the two guys together. So I wonder if that has a part to play in the other two not playing as well as a front partnership.
Again, looking back at that team, we're ready to go. We've had a couple of good performances. Not every performance has been amazing, but we've talked about, especially after that Derby game where the squad was set, after a great win against Blackburn, we seem to be up to full speed. But were we actually ever at full speed?
No, I don't think we were. And I think Vladimir Ivic has alluded to that in various comments he's made. I think there was a statement that I saw quoted today when he talked about, at this stage, what's important is getting the points. And, you know, if we go back to Jason's tried and tested formula, win your home games and draw your away games. Well, for the most part, we're doing that. We should have probably got a win against Bournemouth on Saturday, and then we would have picked up a point here and we would have been on track for the Bailey success ratio. So I think we still have to accept that we're nowhere near probably where Ivic wants us to be. But that's not to say it hasn't been a really, really great start, and therefore we're allowed to be positive and allowed to be hopeful and optimistic going into a match against a side bottom of the league without a point. You know, that's their first ever point in the Championship. It's a balancing act, isn't it? It's impossible not to be disappointed, not to win a game like that. But also you have to view it in context of the wider world of Watford. And we are still getting up to speed. We are still integrating players back into the squad. You know, we got very excited about Etienne Capoue coming back. He's come back in tonight. He started the game, and I would say he hasn't had his best game by quite a long chalk. Queen has struggled again, after a reasonable performance at the weekend. So he's still trying to mould and get this side fully up to speed. I think that's a great phrase, and I think any Watford supporter would say that we're nowhere near that. That's not critical. That's just a realistic assessment of where we're at, because, you know, we did beat Blackburn, but again, similar to tonight against Wickham, Blackburn did do a lot of the running against us from an attacking point of view, and did get us bent out of shape on a number of occasions. On another day, you know, we could have shipped three goals against Blackburn. On another night, we could have let in three tonight. So there's obvious cause for concern, if that's the right phrase.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's cause for concern. That seems we're being dramatic about things.
Agreed. Cause for caution.
Okay.
And cause for pause, and just to stop and assess and absolutely not panic, because ultimately we've picked up a point playing pretty badly, really. I don't want to labour the point, but I think in all three areas of the pitch we were very effusive on Saturday. All three areas of the pitch, I think we were found wanting today. If you play badly defensively, if you don't play great in midfield, and you don't create much up top, it doesn't add up to much, really, does it? Whether you're playing Wickham, Yeovil, Real Madrid or Cheshire United under-10s, you still need to perform in key areas of the pitch. And we just didn't do it. But that's going to happen over the course of a season. And it's less surprising that it happens now at this stage, where there's still work to be done. I think it was definitely an off night, and clubs and teams have them. Anyone who's played sport knows that it just goes like that sometimes, and you could play until Christmas morning and not score and not shake yourself out of the funk, and it felt like one of those nights tonight. Watford didn't play well. It's not one of those ones where you can just fight your way into form. It doesn't happen like that sometimes. Misplaced passes, just everyone just a little bit off the pace, and Wickham probably turning in one of their better performances of the season. So it wasn't our night by a long chalk. So I think it's good. Feet back on the ground a little bit, but no reason to really get too depressed or too despondent, says me.
But you know what, Mark? You've helped me there. Actually, now maybe it's because the game's finished and that tense feeling you have is just dropped away from me. But actually, you're right. I get why we were rubbish. I get why it could have been why we were rubbish. But I get why it can be good.
I guess what is disappointing, and what I think will have upset Vladimir Ivic, is the fact that, you know, I mentioned Saturday quite a bit, and, you know, with 95 minutes on the clock, we were winning, and today against Wickham, we, despite not being great, we were winning again. We had that little bit of quality, decent ball in, one good ball in, lovely finish from Ismaila Sarr after the goal. And then we've switched off once and let them back into the game. And what we've said about the Watford side in this current iteration, because I think, like I said, it's Vladimir Ivic is looking to evolve and move us forward as an attacking, more sort of fluid threat. But in this current iteration, we can't afford to switch off, because if we do, we're going to struggle to get back into games, as proved tonight. And if, you know, bar that one mistake, I think Cabaselli was probably found wanting for the header, for the equaliser. Take that out of the game and we'd nick a 1-0 win. Hugely fine margins at the moment, isn't it? Which is, it's easy to be disappointed and easy to be optimistic, if that makes sense.
As you know, Jason, I pick these questions to ask you and Mike, and I always choose who's the best person to ask these questions to. Jason, what were the positives out of this game?
I'm going to come up with three positives. Two are players. One, I think it's probably quite obvious, is Ben Foster. If it wasn't for Ben, then we could have been staring down the barrel of a defeat. He made some pretty good saves out there. I thought the one from Akinfenwa in the first half was one for the cameras more than anything else, but it looked good. But no, he did have to get down quickly for some of those and did well out there. And Kiko Femenya as well. Mentioned him earlier about him breaking through the lines when we were in advanced positions early in the first half. I thought out of everyone, he looked the most comfortable on the ball, where others were giving the ball away cheaply. We seemed to play the ball out for a throw in an inordinate amount of times, whereas Kiko, I thought it was, yeah, just the class player we know he can be. Getting up and down the pitch, getting the tackles in, put a lovely cross in for the goal. Top-notch performance from him. And the third positive was the way we play, even though it wasn't coming off. You can see what we're trying to do still. How we tried to switch the ball from flank to flank quite quickly, sort of all trying to play like Etienne Capoue does, trying to spray those balls out wide. When it works, it looks good. You go back to the ball from Kafka in Saturday's game was a thing of beauty. And we're not, even though we are struggling, or when we do struggle with our passing, we're not moving away from our fundamentals, so to speak. We are still trying to play that expansive football from back to front to try and catch teams off guard. And even though it wasn't quite happening for us, we stuck at it. And when it did work, it did look good. It just didn't happen often enough tonight.
Just an off night, yeah?
Just an off night, yeah. I'm still disappointed. I still think it's 2 points dropped. Seven teams have played them in the Championship so far and come away with maximum points, and we're the first team not to do so. We're not going to be patronising to Wickham or anything. They deserve the point, if not more. But with the squad we have, we should have beaten them. Fair and simple. It's 3 points two points dropped.
And just been looking on social media after the final whistle, and we all know that's not a barometer of the most rational thinking. Certainly not in the 4 or 5 minutes after the final whistle against the team, as Jason said, that everyone else has managed to beat. But I do think it is just important to be calm and rational. I understand why people aren't enjoying it, because it's not, you know, there is no real fluidity going forward at the moment. I think that goes back to my earlier point. We have to be patient. They're trying to build towards it. And as Jason rightly said there, we are sticking to that and trying to incorporate it into our game. We're getting there slowly. But ultimately, you know, we're third in the table at the moment. So we're doing better than, what, 21 other clubs in the Championship at the moment. All 24 clubs will have a tough evening, a tough afternoon somewhere along the line. So it's how we react, it's how we move on, and I've used this word a lot, but we look for incremental improvement. John, you asked whether this was a step backwards. I don't think it's a step backwards. I think it's a pause. It's a little stutter, a stumble, and I think Vladimir Ivic will have learned from it, and hopefully the players will as well. I mean, it is a difficult place to go, Adams Park, with, you know, the two other times we've played there in the league, we've drawn 0-0, and it's been very similar performances, actually. We just haven't been able to rouse ourselves, you know, but every time Watford have been there, they have been, on paper, the better side, probably by quite some margin. But that's three out of three times now we haven't been able to rail themselves, to rouse themselves, to turn in the performance befitting of the difference in class. And I think a lot of it does come down to perhaps the surroundings and a subconscious sort of acceptance of where Wickham are in the pecking order and where Watford are. There's no supporters there. So a difficult place, perhaps, and this sounds like excuses, but just sometimes the sort of atmosphere, the things don't click into gear for you to get into that mindset to deliver that high, real high intensity, that high quality needed to, you know, because these are still championship footballers. And I've seen a few disparaging comments about Akinfenwa, and I think that's really unfair. You know, he's a professional footballer who's still playing in the championship at the age of 38. He's a bit unconventional. You don't see many like him at that level anymore. But he's proved to be very, very difficult to defend against. So I think just to sort of swat away all the, there are mitigating circumstances, it's still very, very disappointed. I'm still gutted, but I just do think it's Watford supporters, we need to be patient. We need to give this time, because it is difficult. We're coming up against difficult opposition. It's difficult for Ivic to get things moving. It's difficult for him to get the squad together. We're still waiting for players to get back, and that has an impact on everyone. That's players that are in positions that know players will be coming back and putting their place under threat. So there's so many moving parts still, and I am trying to rationalise it a little bit. The bottom line is we should be beating Wickham. Our side that played today, you asked me at the start of the podcast, John, why was I excited? Well, because that was a really good side against, on the face of it, a poor Wickham side. We should have won. We didn't. It's not the end of the world. And I still think that this squad, this team has built a real solid foundation in the first, seven or eight games. And I said after Bournemouth, despite the disappointing nature of the end, despite the sort of gutting feeling of conceding, I'm still excited about the next game. And the same goes for tonight. Really disappointed for different reasons, because overall the performance was bad. But I don't think that this is a side that is one that's just going to roll over and sort of mope around the training ground until they depart for Barnsley. I don't think Vladimir Ivic will allow it. And I don't think these players will allow it amongst themselves either. I think this is a different breed. I think there's a different culture. I think there's a different feeling about the place. It's a lot fresher. That wasn't articulated on the pitch at all tonight. It was lackluster and not impressive at all. But I think they'll be back on the training ground tomorrow thinking, right, they'll be talking amongst themselves about how they'll want to put that right. And I think previous iterations of Watford will have just sort of laughed it off, or a bit of water off a duck's back, and then they just carried on doing what they're doing. Whereas I think this lot will feel like they've got something to prove, and they'll be deeply disappointed with that, and they'll be back into training tomorrow looking to turn things around very, very quickly. And that's what excites me. I think there's places that this team can go, and I think we're just still very, very much at the starting line of this particular race. And I just think we just need to be patient, keep our powder dry. There is a stack of matches to go, and you know, we're in third place without really getting out of second or third gear.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Part of the Athletic Podcast Network. This is From the Rookery End.
To Adam, Adams Park. Was it worth the journey for you?
It was an experience. Let's put it that way. I think it was a bit of a culture shock for some of the players. I don't think it was, you know, some of the experiences that we've had in the past whereby there's been sort of, they've looked completely shell-shocked. I think there's enough sort of savvy players in that team to know what was going to happen. It's just when it starts to happen and happen and happen, and you realise that Wickham are so up for it, they're pressing every ball, they're winning a lot of aerial balls. I mean, considering it was an aerial bombardment, especially in that first half with Adebayo Akinfenwa, you know, brilliant at what he does. But you know that comment of Troy Deeney when he said last year I was playing on one leg and I still scored 10 goals. Adebayo Akinfenwa literally was playing on one leg. When he didn't have the ball, he was hobbling around. He had knee surgery not that long ago, and he's coming back into it. Yes, he missed some, you know, chances with his feet, but he was a real handful for that whole game. All in all, it was a bad night at the office for Watford, but you know, they managed to just get away with a point. So they have to be sort of grateful for that. But it was a bit of a learning curve.
So you spoke to Vladimir Ivic afterwards. How was he?
Thankfully, he was very honest about it. He wasn't making excuses. He saw it for what it was. He saw it with the same eyes as a lot of Watford fans. He saw it as a poor performance. The players that were out there didn't do enough throughout the departments. From defence, midfield and attack, they didn't do enough. The only person on the field that excelled themselves was Ben Foster. And Watford have to be very, very grateful to him. I haven't seen a replay of the goal that was disallowed. I'm not sure how much contact that was, but I'm sure Ben Foster's GoPro will have a great angle of that one. So, you know, we'll get the... I'll be interested to see if he cuts that one out. I'm sure he won't, but it will go in. He was very honest, and I think that hopefully he will be able to sort of get into the players. And it sounded as if he knew that they need to learn from this. Hopefully the players go, okay, right, if we ever come up against this sort of side again in this sort of scenario, then, you know, we are going to be better prepared. And look, at the end of the day, and I know I've said it once before already, they managed to smuggle out a point from it. And it doesn't need to be a performance that leads to sort of foundations crumbling or anything like that. It was a unique game with only one day, full preparation day ahead of it. So the games have been coming thick and fast. And I think, look, you know, they've got a point. Let's just get the hell out of here.
Let's hear what Vlad had to say to the press afterwards.
Yes, tough night. We expect something like that before the game. You know that we play against one team who play tough from the first until the last second of the game. And today we didn't do our job in the best way how we can. Our opponent, they are creating more chances than us. We cannot be satisfied with the way how we play. And, you know, something what has not happened the first time, maybe some games previous. We work better, but not the way how we can. Normally, we need to learn game by game and to improve our performance. If our keeper is man of the match, that means we had a lot of problem, you know. We had a lot of problem in our defensive shape. Second balls, it was most of the time for them. And again, after the set pieces, we concede the goal. It's a lot of problems in our games, and not just in defensive line. And when we had the ball, we couldn't create something what we prepare. And this is something what we need to work game by game and try to be better.
Interesting, Adam, about the substitutions, because it did seem a little weird after Cabaselli gets so injured that he didn't make that substitution.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big surprise. I thought when he called over Shallow down the line that he was going to be coming on, and I thought that Tom Cleverley was going to be coming off and it was going to be Shalabar coming on for him. And then obviously in the intervening period, Christian Cabaselli went down. And just incidentally, I obviously speaking to Ivic after the game, he said, you know, he got a kick in the face, effectively, you know, there's a fair amount of damage and it might be that he needs an MRI. I think he's in quite a lot of pain. That's not going to be very helpful going into the next game against Barnsley. But the situation was that Ivic thought that Watford needed someone to be able to play with the ball a bit better from the back into midfield. I don't necessarily know if that's what was called for. I thought that if you're going to take Christian Cabaselli, you know, you're going to lose Christian Cabaselli. The main thing that you want to do is put a like-for-like player who is willing to, you know, put his head on the line and, you know, just be dealing with high balls. At the end of the day, it didn't end up with Shalabar being beaten to a ball in the air. And then everyone would have gone, look, if you'd had Ben Wilmot or Francisco Siralta on, then it would have been a lot different. But what I can say is that when that decision was made and Shalabar went on and then Glenn Murray went on and everyone was going, oh, right, hang on a minute. OK, so Shalabar's going at centre-back then. The look on the faces of Ben Wilmot and Siralta in the corner was a bit like, oh, right, OK, cheers. Right, well, I'm glad I came to this one. Let's let him explain exactly why he made that decision.
It's the reason because we tried to improve our game with the ball. We tried to improve our ball possession with one midfield player who played like one of three central defenders, and it was one of the options from the bench. Yes, I had two central defenders, but in that moment, the score, it was 1-1, and you know, I tried to take some kind of the risk to improve our game and try to win the game.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Mike, it was what it was. We've sort of not happy with it, but we've accepted it, and we've got to go forward now to Barnsley.
I feel a lot happier having listened to Vladimir Ivic, actually. And I often feel that way. I like the way I like his honest assessment. I don't think he shirks away from his responsibility to deliver a team that can beat Wickham. He mentioned, didn't he, that warned the players that Wickham weren't a team that were worthy of 0 points. They were better than that. And also he'd have spoken to, like Adam said, about the culture shock. So he did allude to the fact he tried to prepare them. He said, we can't be satisfied, and not for the first time this season. And I thought that was telling, because, you know, I've been very positive this season, but obviously Vladimir Ivic is saying not for the first time we haven't done what we're supposed to have done, and he used the word problems, and I think that's right. I think he's highlighting that. He said that Ben Foster is the man of the match, and that tells us that we've got problems, and he's right. I think it's refreshing to hear that from a head coach. They're going to be working on it, aren't they? And I don't think he's going to. The other thing he said was they couldn't create what they'd worked on. So he has basically stood up in front of Adam and the media tonight and Watford supporters and said, what we've worked on hasn't come to fruition tonight. That's the crux of it, isn't it? I'll appreciate that. And I think Watford fans need to listen to that this evening and say, well, he's been honest enough to say that we fluffed our lines big time tonight. A lot of our dress rehearsals before tonight haven't actually been that good either. And I think that's encouraging. I like the way he talks. There does come a time when the proof of the pudding has to be in the eating, and let's hope it's tasting pretty tasty sooner rather than later. But yeah, I like hearing from him. I think it's good. You can feel the frustration in his voice. And I think as supporters, after a night like that, that's important to sort of chime with.
Thank you very much for listening to From the Rookery. We're back again after the Barnsley game. Thank you, Adam.
An absolute pleasure, gents.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And thank you, Michael.
Hey, look, no problem. Come on, you golden boys. We've got this. Up the Football League we go.
Come on, you all!